nitty-gritty techie stuff is the bread and butter for Meta Ads. So like, I understand how important it is to build more creatives and testing more ads campaigns, but without the foundation set up correctly, you're gonna waste a lot of money. So spend some time going back to the root and take a look at if your data infra, your data pixel is set up correctly. It's totally worth your time.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with the format here on Keep Optimizing, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be Facebook ads, just like we're doing at the moment. And each episode, which we release a new one of every Wednesday, is an interview with a different expert exploring the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we are going through Meta Ads and getting you all up to date on that. So far, we've got into building and running an in-house creative team, as well as strategies for building profitability into your Meta Ads. So in this episode, we are looking at a completely different angle of Meta Ads. We are looking at tracking data, events data, the conversions API, and all that kind of good stuff, and talking about how you can put it all on steroids by taking control of your first party cookies. An absolute treat to have Ichi from Immerse back on the show to be talking to us all about this. Super relevant, however much you're spending on Facebook ads, but this is extra specially relevant if you're a business who does over $1 million in sales a year, because at that point everything kind of clicks into place. So you need to be paying even more attention. But Ichi's also going through a lot of kind of error checking stuff and clever stuff. Oh, and there's a really cool bit about health and wellness towards the end as well. Anyway, make sure you listen right to the end so you also get her insider tips for maximizing the performance of Meta Ads and my take on it all and some other tips and advice for you too. So stay tuned to the end. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Immerse fixes this in just one click. The Immerse first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Immerse installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with Meta Ads expert Ichi Wu. Ichi is the founder and CEO of Immerse, a next-gen platform to empower long-lasting relationships with customers by putting you in control of your first-party cookies. Hello, Ichi.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you for having me here.
Awesome to have you back on the show. I think what you're doing has so much potential to very quickly help people improve their performance. But how did you end up doing all this with Meta Ads as well as everything else?
Yeah, so I was a Meta engineer for a long time. I graduated and Facebook was my first job. So I was there as the engineer for like almost 6 or 7 years. I built a lot of products internally. I also built Instagram stories back in the days. So I'm very familiar with a lot of things Meta related. And now I'm building my own company, Immerse. We solve a pretty interesting problem. We can talk about that today.
Cool. And having been at Meta, was it like, well, I must obviously build a solution that integrates and that helps with Meta because I've got all this experience? Does it benefit you at all that you were there in the past? Or are you equally shut out of everything the same as the rest of us?
I mean, like, I was there pretty early on, so I get to touch a lot of things from the very beginning. So I get to understand why things are built this way. Because there are a lot of legacy knowledge in there, because things have been evolving so fast and people don't understand why things is that way. But I do, because I have the historical knowledge.
Cunning. So I like that. Very cool. So why should first-party cookie data and improving our conversions API data be on the to-do list of a Meta Ads Manager? Why should they be taking time away from creative and understanding their customers to go and work on nitty-gritty techie stuff?
Well, nitty-gritty techie stuff is the bread and butter for Meta Ads. So like, I understand how important it is to build more creatives and testing more ads campaigns, but without the foundation set up correctly, a lot of things are not, you're going to waste a lot of money on it. So spend some time going back to the root and take a look at if your data infra, your data pixel is set up correctly. It's totally worth your time. All right, go back to first party cookie. And what does that mean? When people talk about that a lot. So what it actually means is a cookie set by the domain and for the domain. This kind of cookie can be allowed by browsers to stay for 1 year. As a result of that, you can track your visitors on the website for longer. And that is important because tracking the visitor for longer means you can continuously track in their behavioral stuff. If they give you email and are they coming back to the site after 15 days? Are they checking out after half a year? And you can continuously track in their journey. Without that, the journey is disconnected. For example, if the cookie is deprecated, then they become anonymous user, right? So you lost a lot of customer information about their behavioral events. Well, this is what first-party cookie means. And to your second question, why does it matter to Meta? So for people who run Meta Ads, like you are probably familiar with Events Manager, right? In Events Manager, what's important is the pixel. Now they call it data set. It's the same thing. They just renamed it. Data set is a list of events. Like for example, from top of funnel to lower funnel, like page view, view content, add to cart, initiate checkout, add payment info, purchase. It's a funnel of events. And with all the events, the counting the events is one thing, but also having the customer information associated with all the events is important. By customer information, I mean name, email, phone number, address, location, IP, click ID, etc. So you can have, imagine a data set is just a list of events with customer information. And we can talk about like why and how Meta use those data sets. But this is the foundation for Ads Manager, for ads algorithm to work on top, right? To your question, like why is first-party data important? It's because if you can track the user for longer, you can collect more customer information and send to the pixel. And then your ads algorithm will work on top of the pixel. And eventually your ads will improve and your Facebook will try to find out who are the right audience to target and the prospect.
It strikes me that a lot of businesses are still just using the Facebook pixel.
Right.
Which obviously they've got a lot less data going through, so their ads are performing less well, et cetera, et cetera. Then some have got to the point where they've got the server-side tracking feeding in via conversions API into Meta more information. So like their website's talking to it rather than using cookies. Is capturing our own first party data and then feeding that information through, is that next level? Should everyone be doing it? Is it an obvious one? Because I guess like we've already got the layer of the pixel and the layer of the server side tracking. Why do we need another layer? I guess is what I'm trying to understand. Is this like enterprise level stuff or should everybody be doing this? Where does that extra layer of juice and information sit?
Right. So my opinion on this is if you are below 1 million GMV annually per year or like below 800K, I think Meta Facebook native Shopify conversion API is enough for you. There, you have so much more to worry about than that because there's not much data to optimize on top in general for a lower traffic volume. So I think you should focus on other things. But if you're above that threshold, then any optimization on top of data is important because you have such high traffic and data volume. Optimizing on first-party data, meaning that you can track the visitor for longer, can give you about 40% more data in your data pixel. 40% on top of a high traffic volume is a lot of data. So that's my recommendation in general. It does not apply to everybody. It applies to a certain threshold of traffic.
Because it's all percentages, really, isn't it? It's like, if you're only doing one order a week through Facebook ads, there's clearly something else you're spending your time on, and doing this isn't worth it. But if you're doing 1,000 ads a week, then that extra 40% of data that you can get by implementing everything, including the first party cookie element, gives you so much more data going in to the algorithm that therefore the results come back and it all pays off. So the 1 million GMV, so annual sales, that's the key number that you found with the people you work with.
Yes, we've been working with a few hundred brands, and I have noticed it works very well with a certain threshold of traffic, and you will see a return very quickly.
Got it. And let's focus on those who this is relevant for, because that's obviously going to be a far more interesting conversation for this session. So what sort of stuff should we be looking to add into the mix with our first party data capture? What's the key data benefits we're going to be getting?
Great question. So remember when I mentioned about tracking the user for longer? So if you can do that, then you can continuously track their behavior. For example, imagine a scenario. If someone gives you email on day one in the email pop-up, right? And then they left after half a month, they came back to your website. They remembered you and then they come to the site. Because cookie deprecation, even if they've given you the email in the past, they are anonymous user to you because they don't know their email anymore. They are anonymous, just a new brand new user. If they add your cart, if they check out, then there's no email associated with those events when in that session, right? And then those kind of information cannot be sent to Facebook. The email is not associated with any of the list of events I just mentioned. And then Facebook don't know who to target. So that's a problem. And if you can track the user for longer, then you know they are the same user as like half a month ago. So you can take that email from the past and insert into the current session and associate that with the current events, like add your cart, initiate checkout, view product, etc. And those kind of events can be sent to Facebook. And because there's email associated with them, Facebook now know, oh, this exact Facebook person wanted to buy. So let's retarget them. Let's prospect more people to similar to that. And that's how you fundamentally improve the algorithm prospecting and audience finding.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not just about sending any old set of extra bits of data over to the algorithm. It's about tying those pieces of data to the user, to the individual user. So you get, you know, the 12-month richness of someone's behavior rather than the much shorter period of user behavior. And that is the gold dust, the catnip. The key stuff that the algorithm wants is that deeper understanding of people's behavior, I suppose.
Correct. So there's something interesting that a lot of people, a little bit more technical nuance behind it, is because when Facebook look at all the customer information, like there are a lot of customer information, like email, phone number, address, country, IP, and click ID, etc. There's actually a ranking of all the parameters. The most important one is email and click ID. The second tier importance is phone number, country, external ID, etc. The third tier is first name, last name, and the rest of the things, right? So what this tells you is email and the click ID is the important information to identify a Facebook account. Facebook will use any of those parameters to match to a Facebook user, a Facebook account. Once they can be matched to a Facebook account, and then those kind of data can be used in ads algorithm training. And they can figure out more similar people to that Facebook account, right? So like the most important thing here I'm talking about is try to collect more emails and click IDs about your customers. The more you can associate events with those kind of customer information, the better the ads algorithm can take in that information and do better algorithm training.
But we're not just talking about putting an email capture pop-up on the front end of the site. We're talking about tying that data in with your first party cookie data. So you're tying the information together. So when you send that person's behavior over to Facebook, you can say, and this is a click ID if we've got one, and this is the email address. And because you've got that time span, long time span, you can tie it over together over longer time periods and really create that rich data.
Exactly.
Those tiers of information are quite fascinating, aren't they? That it's so reliant on the email address, despite how we're moving to mobile and despite Instagram being so big in Facebook land and mobiles being so great, the email address is still more important than the mobile number.
Yeah, it's understandable because Facebook, most of Facebook accounts is registered with an email, right?
I do wonder, getting a bit crystal ball-y here, but I do wonder if that will change to mobiles in the future, but I guess we'll find out.
Possibly. I think TikTok, on the other hand, is a lot of phone numbers.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Started a bit later, head straight into those. So what are the likely results? You said about this extra data going in to Meta, 40% more data points we can get across, which clearly is going to have a positive impact on our performance. What's the likely performance increase? You mentioned you're working with lots and lots of people using this. Do they see a 1% increase, a 2% increase? What sort of performance improvements are they seeing?
It's a very good question. So a lot of people want a quick win. but a quick win is oftentimes very difficult. It's a chain of effect. It's not going to be like one thing that you change and suddenly everything magically get improved. It really depends on multiple factors. The first factor is how much traffic, the baseline traffic you have, because Meta requires a certain amount of data to learn, right? If your traffic is very low, even if you can improve a lot of customer information, it just takes a long time to learn about the behavior and eventually figure out who to target. But if your traffic is super high, you can potentially see results within like a month. By results, I mean, it really depends on how the baseline is. One of my clients was able to scale from $5,000 ad spend a month to now 60,000 ad spend a month within like a month of time, just because they are able to see profit and he's able to scale up very, very quickly. Yeah.
So literally they turned this system on.
Yes.
Adding the first party cookies into the conversions API data, sending it through to Meta. And the performance improvements in Meta were like, well, we just got to chuck more money at this.
Yeah.
And did you say in a month they went from X to Y? And what was X and Y again?
They went from the 50K a month of ad spend to 60K. So to 10X their business within a month.
That's mad.
Yeah. And they're seeing a very high ROAS. So it was never working for him in the past year. But for some reason, he never figured it out until he realized it was the data infra issue.
And I suspect a lot of people be thinking, well, 12-month cookie, it's going to take a while to kick in. But actually, just the today data can make a big difference as it starts feeding through. Very cool. What have we missed that we should have told people about doing this?
Data tracking is a very complicated thing. I know I simplified this a lot for this conversation, but like there are a lot of corner cases that people are not aware of. For example, one of the things we notice is it has a huge impact. I think a lot of the listeners may have a website and then by default on Shopify, the checkout will be Shop Pay. And then sometimes PayPal, sometimes like you have Venmo and Apple Pay, etc. There's a problem with those kind of third-party payment. I noticed a huge chunk of them are missing with Click ID. So one of my clients came to me recently and complaining about how Google conversion tracking is not tracking correctly. And I'm like, how do you know? How do you know they're not tracking correctly? And then he was like telling me that his majority of ad spend is on Google and he doesn't have a lot of direct traffic. As a result, most of the purchase should be attributed to Google, but he's only seeing like 10%, 20% of them attributed to Google. And he's like, where are the rest of the purchases coming from? I have no idea now. It must be Google not tracking correctly. So I spent some time looking into his account and I realized like 50% of his purchase is coming from Shop Pay. And then all the Shop Pay checkout went to a different URL. It went from his website domain to shop.app/checkout. Because a different URL, the tracking assumed they went to a different website. right? So the tracking discontinued, even though the purchase came back to Shopify, but there's no click ID associated with them. And Google used Google Click ID, GCL ID, to calculate if this purchase is attributed to Google or not. So because there's no Google Click ID associated with them, they are assumed as direct purchase, which is not true. Attribution is just one problem. The biggest important problem is that Google or Facebook, same story. It's the same thing. It happened to be Google. Like Google or Facebook did not have enough data to optimize the ads algorithm. They think this ads campaign is not working, but turned out it's working pretty well. And they could not scale because they thought this is not working. So there's a lot of issues with not being able to track the purchases and the click ID correctly. And turned out third-party payment is one of the reasons.
I find it mad that third-party payment is still causing those problems. I think I had those exactly the same, you know, with like a Worldpay or a, I can't remember which one it was. Apologies, Worldpay, if you never had this problem, but like a Worldpay or a PayPal or something else, just wiping all the checkout data or, you know, all the tracking data. So nothing gets allocated properly, but that's your checkout. So what can you do? And it befuddles me that we still have that problem today. But if we're in control of the cookies, presumably we get a better chance at eradicating those problems and removing those corner cases, as you said.
Exactly. If you can track the session correctly and you can associate all these purchases with the correct click ID, Facebook ads, Google ads will be like, you know, having the click ID associated correctly, and they can calculate attribution better. Facebook can now correctly attribute those purchases to Facebook, and then they can train the algorithm better because they now know this ads campaign is working. So they need to scale up. They need to put more resources into it. They need to prospect better like that. So everything just it's a flywheel. Like everything will suddenly become better. Yeah.
But I like the fact that if we take control of our first party cookie situation, then not only are we collecting more data that's happening anyway, we could be solving problems, which is very cool with that, you know, that link to the third party payment pieces. Now, there's something I have to ask you about because I saw you posting about this recently on LinkedIn, which is Facebook are making a change for health and wellness brands that affects all of this stuff. And so far, you're the only person I've seen talking about it. And it seemed like quite a major deal to me. So could you explain what it is and then let the listeners know what they need to do about it, please?
Yeah, it's a big deal, isn't it? So a lot of people worry about, so am I. The policy they made public is talking about like they are not going to let people optimize towards the lower funnel events. Lower funnel events, including add to cart, initial checkout, add payment info, purchase. And that's a big deal. Like I mentioned, tracking, the whole purpose of tracking correctly is for Facebook to optimize towards a certain event and the conversion, the final purchase is often the one. Not able to optimize towards purchase will cause a lot of problems because if you're optimizing on traffic, then it can get you a lot of wrong traffic, the people who are not converting, and you're going to waste a lot of money on that. So restricting that is a big problem for health and wellness brands. The policy, to be very honest with you, is still pretty vague. The information that I have got from my side is they're not able to optimize for the standard events, but the customer events will still be allowed in Meta. That's the information I got from them. Obviously, the policy can change anytime and we'll know more details. But the current temporary solution that I propose to all my clients affected is to start sending customer events. Customer events as of all these events I talk about, add to cart, initial checkout, add payment info, purchase, etc., alongside with the standard events. So you have two sets of events sending in the events manager at the same time. Customer events are not able to utilize in ads algorithm for now, but when the policy changes, you're able to switch to use the customer events as a conversion target in ads manager setting. And then that you can still optimize towards a certain conversion event. That's my proposal to all my clients for now. Obviously, things can change. We'll see more, we'll know more in the next 2-3 weeks of time. But I think so far, that's the best solution I can think of for all my clients. Let's get ahead of everything and prepare for that. And if anything happens, we just quickly adapt to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a minefield. This new piece of stuff. I'm not going to say legislation. I'm not quite sure it's quite legislation, but it's quite mad. But if you're a health and wellness brand and you're advertising on Facebook, and you haven't yet swatted up on this, I highly recommend going and following Immersy, or Immerse even, on LinkedIn, which is A-I-M-E-R-C-E and Ichi, because clearly further ahead on it than anyone else I've come across yet. So go and watch out for updates and make sure you're sending all those additional events so you're future-proofing yourself too. Thank you so much for taking us through that. I know it's slightly off topic, but kind of on topic, but too hot not to talk about. It's been great chatting to you about first-party cookies and how they can put your conversions API on steroids. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Ichi's insider tips on Meta ads and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Immerse fixes this in just one click. The Immerse first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Immerse installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Ichi, so far we've gone deep into first-party cookies and the conversions API. Now you get to ours with your insider knowledge about the whole of Meta ads and cookies. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with e-commerce and tracking and Meta ads, which of course includes all the stuff we've already been talking about. So are you ready for the insider tips?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So if you don't know anything, the first easiest thing for you to verify, are you doing the right thing, is go to your events manager, click on purchase event, look at last 7 days of data, and check the number and compare that with your Shopify purchase order to see if there's a discrepancy. Because that's how you finally calculate like how many conversions are being tracked by Facebook. This number should be very, very close. And if it's not close, look into it, fix it, and that will get you a lot of money back.
And that's because when you go to that area in the Meta ads back end, that's not what they're saying is attributable to Facebook. It's what they've understood to have happened in total on your website. So if your Shopify is saying 100 orders and they're saying 50, you got a big problem. But if it's 95 and 100, it's not so big a problem, is what we're saying.
That's correct.
Cool. Okay. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
So I would say go to all the events and take a look at the details. Like, for example, like in any of the events, there's an event match quality score. And go into that and take a look at all the percentages I mentioned. Email percentage, click ID, first name, last name, phone number, etc. And then understand if that matches your expectation. Do you have 20% of the people giving you emails in the page view? Do you have all this email tracked correctly in your purchase? And then how does the score look like? And then if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me as well. And I can help you take a look at all this details and understand, are you doing everything correctly? It's more advanced. It takes a little bit more work to understand the data, but it's totally worth 30 minutes of your life.
Nice. Loving this advice. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I generally recommend reading Facebook documentations. It's a very technical thing, but that's the most accurate resource you can read online. There's so much public information about Facebook documentation. I read those all the time. And all the things I mentioned about the priority of parameters, all coming from Facebook documentations. And that's the source of truth, in my opinion.
it comes from the central thing we're trying to do, doesn't it? So if they're saying it, it's probably accurate. It does amaze me how many people like spend huge amounts of money on these platforms and have never actually looked at the documentation. And it's like, it's all there.
Yeah.
All there for you. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Well, first of all, we'll see how Chrome is doing, because all the cookie deprecation currently happened on Safari, and the Chrome mentioned that they're going to deprecate cookies in the beginning of 2025. Well, looking forward to that. We'll see how that goes. It has been happening forever. And the second thing I would say, Meta just launched a new non-censorship change. It happened this week. So I'm curious what's kind of going to come up to the ad side, like how much like restrictions relaxed, what kind of things may happen, because a lot of people are struggling with Meta censorship, not only content, but also the ads account restrictions. And I'm looking forward to the changes and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that angle on their censorship changes, but yeah, there could be whole products they currently don't let advertise that could come on board, and message types you currently can't. Hadn't thought of the ads thing. I love that. Okay. Well, do I love that? I love that you brought it up. I'm not sure I love the meat of it. Before I go down that rabbit hole, though, Ichi, we are nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can get in touch with you and your business if they want to find out more?
Yeah. If you want to chat with me, happy to jam on anything. You can find me on Aimer's website. It's going to be aimerce.ai. And there's a book a demo button there. It goes to my calendar directly.
Excellent. So you get a demo really with Ichi if you head to the website and book one of those demos. Okay. We have been loving having you on the show again. Great to have you here. So thank you so, so much for being up, for coming and helping explain how all of this affects Meta Ads users. So thanks, Ichi.
Thank you, Chloe.
Okay, then, everybody. So that's one for you. If you have got mega tracking problems, or you're doing more than $1 million in GMV, so that's annual sales, then you should be looking at taking your conversions API, i.e. the data you're sending back to Facebook, to the next level. So you've got your pixel data. That's the Facebook pixel, the third-party cookie tool. Then you've got your basic server-side tracking. Then you add in the first-party cookie juice. And that's what we've been talking about today. So well worth exploring that. You can get the links to those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more, by going to keepoptimizing.com or use our special direct to episode short link. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the correct page of the website. And when you get to the website, why not add yourself to our email list? That way you won't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your e-commerce business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out episode 238, where I'm discussing more ways to use automation to improve your advertising return on investment. You can also find our full thread of Meta Ads content by scrolling up your feed or using the short link keepopt.com/meta. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing, and right now your Meta Ads performance. And if you liked this one as well, we have an episode coming up in 2 episodes time where we'll be looking at the middle bit of that conversion tracking sandwich on Meta, not the Facebook pixel, not the first party cookies, but the server side tracking bit in the middle. So that's coming up in a couple of episodes. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.